Hi, this is Daniel Garber of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's 1971 in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Carlitos is an innocent-looking boy with an angelic face and blonde curls. But this teenager has a strange hobby. He enjoys breaking into homes undetected and taking things. He's an expert cat burglar born to steal. He loves what he does, but he has no one to share his triumphs with. That is, until he meets Ramon. Ramon is bigger, darker, and tougher, and comes from a family of petty gangsters. Carlitos is smitten, and soon they're a team, one with homoerotic undertones. And together, they wreak havoc across the city. And when guns enter the picture, people start to die. Is Carlitos the devil incarnate or an angel gone astray? El Angel is a fantastic new feature from Argentina, written and directed by Luis Ortega. This is Luis's first big budget film, and it features an unknown actor in the title role. El Angel was in the Discovery series at TIFF, and it's opening soon in Toronto, and I'm very pleased to have Luis Ortega here on location to tell us a bit more about El Angel. Hi, Luis.
That was such a great introduction.
Oh, thank you very
much. I'm going to copy it.
Oh, please do. As the movie opens, Carlitos is described as a house cat. Yeah. What's a house cat? What does that mean?
Is that the translation?
That's the translation they give. Is that a literal translation or?
Well, no. There's a slang word for it.
What is it in Spanish?
Mechero. It means...
Oh, totally different.
Oh, or escruchante. It's very slang. It's not even in Spanish. It's Argentinian slang.
Argentinian, okay.
From the 50s, it's like people who break into houses and without weapons, and they just... this modality where you rob, but without causing any harm or... But he's not really that much into robbing as into dancing.
Yeah.
Like I realized during my teenage years that the cops come when you think about them. And if they're not in your mind, then maybe they don't even appear.
Okay.
So if you don't really act like, if your actions aren't like charged with the fact that what you're doing is wrong, there's like a certain purity to your actions, even if you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. He's like detached from the idea that what he's doing is something wrong. He sees that something natural.
And he's portrayed as sort of a sweet guy, a nice guy, but sometimes things go a bit wrong or he has a quick reaction and, well, he kills people.
Yeah, too. It's interesting how you told a story until he meets this other tougher looking kid and wants to impress him, and this love story starts, because that's actually part of the real story, what really happened, true events. He met this kid and he went to his house, and this kid's father showed him how to shoot a gun and put a gun in his hands for the first time. So since he wanted to impress this family he's really attracted to, because it's the opposite of his.
Right.
He doesn't mind doing anything in that direction. But as I remember when I was a kid and I used to do the same things, not kill people, but break in houses.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah. Like most of the kids.
Okay.
That are teenagers, and at least I grew up in the 80s and 90s.
Right, right.
So I really tried to just make it my own film and how I remembered being a teenager. And the fact that dying and death is something that's so far away, the fact that you shoot someone, you don't even believe in death. Like when I was that age, I thought death was just...
a fantasy.
Something that people made up.
Yeah, yeah.
And to this day, every time I'm in a funeral... It's so, like, unbelievable. You're just waiting for the guy to get up from the casket and say, it's a fucking joke. I mean...
And Carlitos sort of behaves that way, too. He's kind of detached. Even when someone dies because of him,
yeah.
He doesn't seem to have the normal reaction you would expect. But
well, his reaction is normal for him. He's like,
right.
Why are you freaking out?
Right.
It's all a play.
But he's not... But in the media, he's described as a serial killer. And when you hear serial killer, this pathological, cruel person who loves killing, he doesn't love killing at all.
No.
It's sort of the opposite. Sometimes he kills someone either accidentally or he's in a circumstance where it comes in, but it's not like he enjoys killing. He's sort of indifferent to it.
Yeah. It has something like Waiting for Godot. It has one of my favorite films is Badlands.
Oh yeah,
by Terrence Malick. And by the end of the film, like the police, like the officer that is taking him to jail in the car, he's like so amused by Martin Sheen, like how indifferent he is with the situation, and how like he turns himself in, like in such a peaceful way.
So he's like Sissy Spacek.
Sissy Spacek, yeah. Amazing. And then the cop turns around, and he's like, "Man, why'd you kill all those people?" And then he goes, "I don't know. I guess I've always wanted to be a criminal." And that's such a answer that is worth a movie. I mean, I think if something has an explanation, it's not worth a movie. It's only worth a movie if you don't understand it.
People in Canada have never heard of him, but it's based on the real case. They say he's the longest time in prison in Argentina. Had you heard of him? Is he well known in Argentina? Or
yeah, he's very well known.
Is it like folklore? Is he a folk hero?
Yeah,
he's like
Charles Manson.
Oh, it's like Charles Manson. So very, very dark. Did you ever meet with him?
Fortunately, no.
Okay.
Because my best friend wrote a book about him 10 years ago, and it kind of ruined his life, his marriage, his everything. He started freaking out because he spent too much time with him, and he's this toxic, really toxic guy to be around with. And maybe I wanted to meet him, but then I thought that if I met him, I would pull off from the movie. Like, I wouldn't want to do it because I want to do my movie and attract the attention you get from a real case like Bonnie and Clyde or whatever.
This is more like Clyde and Clyde.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Because I love women, but like we're so used to like having the sexual tension like with tits and ass.
Right.
And I just thought it would be better between friends and not even like consume the act, like not even get into the sex part, just like the sexual tension.
Yeah.
And the admiration you have for your fellow friend that is tougher than you and willing to kick your ass or somebody else's ass. And when you're a teenager, friendship is like love,
yeah.
Is pure love.
Yeah. So at the same time, I'm just wondering about in the movie, Carlito's sexuality. So because like Ramon's mom comes on to him and he says, "No, I like your husband more." And it's because I don't want to ruin it, but the most shocking scene in the movie, the best scene in the movie is not the shooting and the killing. It's where Ramon's father's. You suddenly notice what you're seeing on the screen. His testicles are falling out of his shorts.
We've all seen that, like at a friend's house or grandfather. And like, you can't share that with anybody. So that's my chance. That was my chance of sharing my...
But I was watching it on the screen and...
It's huge.
I know, but I was saying, what am I looking at? Is this like an animal going past? Is it because there's a close, extreme close-up? I didn't know what it was. Then all of a sudden, like, oh my God. Yeah,
when I was young... We lived in the north of Argentina in the smallest state, and I used to live going uphill, like to the mountain, at like a couple, like 2 kilometers up the mountain. And on my way back from school, I would always cross this guy that was going uphill towards the mountain, and I would run to my house, steal a wine from my dad, and give him a wine, and he would show us his balls because he had this hernia. And his balls reached to his knees.
Oh, my God.
And we were all 10-year-olds.
Right.
10, 11-year-olds. And we like, all surround him. And he would show us his big balls. And I never thought of it until I did the movie. And I was like, maybe that comes from there.
That was a brilliant scene.
I didn't put that in the script.
That was in the, no, that just sort of ended. And I don't know. Let's just talk about the look of the film. I know that Almodovar was one of the producers.
Yeah.
It had the look of some of the early Almodovar comedies, like really bright, a little bit kitschy, a little bit over the top. Yeah. Can you talk about the whole look, the artistic
design? Story is so dark that I really wanted to make a film. I really wanted to make a film that makes you desire life and want to be alive. And you're like, okay, then why do you choose the story over this murder to like talk about life? I feel when you leave the film, you just have this energy of like wanting to dance, not wanting to kill people. So like the looks of the film was kind of like not going all the way to the dark all the time to the dark part, but just it could be beautiful. Life could be beautiful, and these sinister characters can be very attractive. We have to admit it. So it's like, it comes in through your eyes and you really want to be part of that adventure. There's this film called Henry the Killer or something like that, which is like the opposite of what I want to do. It shows you all the dead people with like,
About his story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then it goes back to the guy leaves the scene, and then it goes back to the dead woman with the bottle in her throat. It's like, who would want to see that?
Exactly.
So I really wanted to make a beautiful, stylized film so you wouldn't reject it. Like, so you would really want to be part of the adventure. And
it was very beautiful. And the lead actor is Lorenzo
Ferro.
Ferro. Where did he come from? Where'd you find him?
Well, I was very interested. Actually, it was almost a condition in my head that the main role shouldn't be someone famous.
Like I've never... Has he ever done a movie before?
He had never acted in his life.
Was he a model or...?
No.
No. Just
a skater.
A skater?
Yeah.
Really?
And he raps and...
He's good. I mean, did he do his own stuff? I mean, one of the things about the character is he can climb in and out of windows and everything.
No, we did parkour.
Oh, okay.
We did piano. We did a lot of breaking into houses. Like he would break into my house. I would call him up and say, okay, come break into my house. He would come in and I'd be filming him. He would ignore me and I'd be filming him and I'd be like...
So he was really doing it?
Yeah, he was really doing it.
So wait, see, there wasn't a stuntman?
No,
really?
There was no stuntman.
No, because that's the coolest part of this, seeing him like shimmy up a pole, squeeze through a window.
I was freaking out for moments because he would have to climb like some dangerous like outside buildings but he was really well trained. I mean, I didn't want it to be someone famous because when it's someone famous, it's so distracting. You're like, okay, there's Johnny Depp playing Charles Manson. Okay, I'm going to try hard to believe this is true.
Right.
So the fact that he wasn't famous was the first condition for me. And the fact that he wasn't an actor gave me the chance to start from zero, like, and do exactly what I had imagined. The actors that would come to do the casting, they would act crazy because they were portraying this crazy guy.
Who everyone's heard of, right?
Yeah, and I saw 1,000 kids. The first one that came was Lorenzo. And I was like, this is him. And they were like, come on, it's the first one. I'm like, this is him. And we had to train for like 6 months. We did a lot of dancing and he didn't even look like the character, but he just had it. Like
Totally. No, I mean, he personifies the character, embodies the character.
No, we did a lot.
I liked his dancing style.
Yeah, we danced every day for like 6 months in my house because I was in the street looking for the kid to play the part. And I would like approach young teenagers, like blonde boys, and they would like run away, and I was like, okay, this is not a good idea. I'm gonna end up like sued or something. So we put up this cast and we knew his father, and he sent a picture. I was like, okay, bring him over. And when he came in, he just ignored me completely. He just sat down in the couch and didn't even look at me. And I thought that was pretty stunning compared to actors that want to impress you. Is a guy. He doesn't
totally
give a
chill.
Fuck.
Yeah. Totally chill. Anyway, this is a fantastic movie. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks. That was great.
I've been speaking with Luis Ortega about El Angel, which played at TIFF and is opening soon in Toronto. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.